I can't help it. I don't care how far you think the analogy extends itself. When I see you making that bus driver climb up and down, on and off the roof of his bus for your amusement for hours in the hot sun, I think of how we once had to dance and sing for them while they shot our parents. When I see you keep that woman and her husband at the checkpoint while she's in labor and you stand there, listening to her scream, watching as she gives birth on the backseat of a taxi, I think of the walls around our own ghetto and how we had to crawl through the sewers looking for rats to eat while we could hear their children playing on the other side. When I see you crush that house and kill that woman and her baby with your armored bulldozer because they didn't have a permit, I think of the way we were once forced to leave our homes at the point of a gun. And when I hear your general say that in order to deal with the Intifada, you must learn from the tactics of another general, one Mr. Stroop, in Warsaw, I think of how they bombed our buildings, shot us as we fell from the roofs. And I remember how we wished we could kill their babies too. And I feel sick, sick of your displaced anger. Sick of your self-deception, sick of your attempts to deceive the rest of the world, sick of your accusations of anti-Semitism, sick of your occupation, sick of your apartheid state, sick of Zionism. Because standing here in Auschwitz, Birkenau, and Warsaw, I see Jenin, Yaffa, and Rafah. And I think of our ancestors, the Jewish Palestinians, who spoke so eloquently in their Arabic language. But the dead cannot speak. And now I find myself again behind the wall of a ghetto, standing with millions of other Palestinians. And I find myself shouting, Thawra, Thawra, Hat al-Nasr, tomorrow in Jerusalem, al-Auda, return.
Speaking on Anarchy Now, putting the rad into radio.
You speak of Rastafari, but how can you justify belief in a God that's left you behind? You've simply filled the gap between the upper and lower class, and your faith merely keeps you in line, in line, yeah. An amalgamation of Jewish scripture and Christian thought. What will that get you? Not a fuck of a lot. Take a look at your promised land. Your deed is that gun in your hand. Mount Zion's a minefield, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip. Soon to be parking lots for American tourists and fascist cops, yeah. Fuck religion, fuck religion, fuck religion.
As the shaky six-month ceasefire came to a formal end last week, the U.S. signaled it would not be restraining its ally Israel.
Whatever the mechanism is that is acceptable to the Israeli government to not see violence used against its citizens, then, of course, we're not going to stand in the fight of that.
Hamas's takeover of the Gaza Strip last year followed a political miscalculation by the administration of U.S. President George Bush. It presumed that Fatah, led by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, would win the 2006 parliamentary elections, which Washington had encouraged. But with Hamas emerging the victor, the Bush administration joined Israel in refusing to recognize the vote and attempting to isolate the group as it assumed full control of Gaza.
Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them they have been wrong all along. We've heard this foolish delusion before.
And when Bush hosted the Annapolis conference a year ago to resuscitate talks on a final settlement, Hamas was left out. In his winning campaign for the presidency, Barack Obama echoed Bush in ruling out any accommodation with Hamas.
We must isolate Hamas unless and until they renounce terrorism, recognize Israel's right to exist, and abide by past agreements. There is no room at the negotiating table for terrorist organizations.
Fuck negotiations.
This week on Anarchy Now, fuck Israel, fuck Zionism, and fuck American support of Israel and Zionism.
Solidarity with Palestinian resistance is widespread since the attacks began on Gaza nearly 2 weeks ago.
From Jewish women being arrested in Canada, to thousands of people taking the streets in Israel, to protests in Europe and the United States and all across the world. People are unifying with one voice, with one clear statement: to stop the genocide that is Zionism.
Every nation in the international community has come out to condemn this illegal occupation, with the exception of two: Israel and the United States.
This comes as no surprise, as the U.S. has propped up Israel for 60 years, committing atrocities against the Palestinian people with our corporate sponsorship.
For further insight, we look to the leading anarchist voice on the Israeli occupation, Dr. Noam Chomsky.
Hello?
Hello, Professor Chomsky?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Rabble Rouser. We have three quick questions for you about Israel and Palestine. You were quoted in 1996 interview saying that virtually everything in social and political affairs is right on the surface, and I think that the biggest problem we see with getting people engaged in discussion about the Israel-Palestinian conflict is they say that this is a very confusing, very complicated issue, and it tends to drag people away. Can you deconfuse this conflict for us?
Well, there is a, you know, anything you look at in the world is complicated, but there are simple, crucial, overwhelming facts which clarify it. And in this case, there is a very simple fact. There is a solution to the problem, and everyone knows what it is. And it's right on the table, and it's been there for 30 years, and that is there's a huge, overwhelming international consensus on a two-state settlement on the international border with minor and mutual modifications, which would have a Jewish state and its internet on one side and a Palestinian state on the other. Now, that's not the end-all of the issue. In fact, in my view, that should only be a first stage towards something beyond. But that's the crucial question. Now, why hasn't it happened? Very simple reason. The United States and Israel reject it, and have rejected it for over 30 years. The U.S. first vetoed a Security Council resolution calling for this in 1976. It did it again in 1980. It's you take a look at the General Assembly, the votes are like, you know, 150-3 year after year. The United States, Israel, and some Pacific island. And it goes on right to this moment. I mean, if the invasion of the argument that is accepted, you know, even critics accept that Israel had to do something about the rockets. Yeah, there's something they could do about the rockets, namely stop the takeover of the West Bank. if they stop the takeover of the land and resources, the assassinations, the humiliations, the killings, okay, then that'll be the end of the resistance. But and they know that, and it's all totally illegal. I mean, it's in violation of Security Council orders. It's in violation of, I mean, the World Court ruled on it. There's just nothing to debate about it. It isn't that complicated to do. They don't have to. They don't even have to displace the settlements if they don't want to. They can just pull the army out, and then the settlers will do what they feel like. It's. I don't want to make it sound too simple, but that's the core issue. There is a solution on the horizon. It's come very close a number of times. The main time was in January 2001. There were negotiations in Taba, Egypt, between Israelis and Palestinian negotiators, top level. And they came very close to working out the details of this solution. In fact, they said in their last press conference that if they had a few more days, they could have finished it. Well, Israel called it off. And since then, it hasn't come back. Well, you know, that's the core issue. You can look at the details of who did what in the ceasefire and so on and so forth, but in a way, it's all secondary. It's also perfectly obvious why Israel is invading Gaza. They don't want any resistance to their programs of takeover of the occupied territories. They want to be able to proceed in peace with exactly what they're doing, taking over the land, the resources, the Jordan Valley, expanding settlements, putting Palestinians into small fragments where they can't have any viable existence, hoping that ultimately they'll leave. They want to do it slowly, quietly, without any resistance. They have enough military control over the West Bank so that they can dampen down resistance there. They now have collaborators. The U.S.-trained Fatah security forces are helping them out with it. So they've got the West Bank, they think, more or less under control and can do what they want. But there is still resistance in Gaza, so they want to smash it.
As a state, what, if anything, makes Israel different? They seem to be following the United States model of colonialism with Jewish settlers stealing land from Palestinians with the state's consent. So what, if anything, makes Israel different from any other state?
Well, you know, there are a lot of rotten states in the world. Many of them have much worse policies than Israel. But there are only two cases in the world right now of states that are taking over someone else's territory, trying to crush them, carrying out violent repression and so on. One is Israel, the other is Morocco. In the Western Sahara, where they're doing pretty much the same thing. And in both cases, they can do it because the U.S. backs them.
If that's the case, for our final question, we wanted to ask about the organizing techniques or tactics of people in the U.S. If the U.S. is backing this repression of the states, is there any hope for us to organize here to crush this, and where does that hope lie?
Well, that is a general problem, and that is, can the United States become a functioning democracy in which public opinion has some effect on policy? Now, it turns out for years, a majority of Americans have favored the international consensus. That is, have favored what I described, which is well known, but it doesn't affect policy. And it's not the only issue. There's issue after issue on which both political parties are well to the right of the population. That's why elections are run by the public relations industry and avoid issues and keep to soaring rhetoric, as it's called, or personalities and so on. So there is a broad problem about the lack of functional democracy in the United States, and this is one case of it. So what is the tactic that should be used in this case? Well, first of all, education, because there's a fantastic amount of lying about this. What I just said, for example, which is elementary, you can find almost nowhere. So people have to become educated. They have to understand what's going on. It's not deep. You know, it's all on the surface, like you said at the beginning. After that comes organizing to press for the policies that the population wants, and then come actions which have to be geared to circumstances. They can run from protest to resistance in all sorts of ways.
We'd like to thank David Rovics for his poem Return, Alex Beasley for traditional music, Propagandi, and Professor Noam Chomsky.
Once again, some reports stolen from Democracy Now!, various indie media projects, and corporate media.
And we're not giving those Zionist fuckers a dime.
For Anarchy Now!, this is Rabble Rouser
and Reverend Dr. Mason Bilderberg
reminding you to fuck shit up
and do it all for love.
The security of this nation depends on complete and total compliance. Tonight, any protester, any instigator, or agitator will be made example of.